Welcome to Antisocial Engineering, guys. This is Jeff.
This is Riley.
And with us today is Ryan. He is the sound guy for all of the songs on the podcast.
How's it going, everybody?
Ryan, before we get started, I want you to tell us a little bit about your music and just like what got you started in music, why you like making music, real quick about yourself.
Well, one day, you know, this girl really hurt my feelings, so I started making music, and that was my way to escape some emotional things, and ever since, I just, you know, been love making music.
You know, I went through the same thing, but I turned to heroin. That's just me, though.
Yeah, you gotta stay away from that. You know, I haven't done that shit since 95, so.
What, were you six?
Something like that. It was a rough time, man. Come on.
All right, so today we're really excited to have Ryan on the podcast. We've talked to him a few times to get him here. It's gonna be a good time. Today, we're gonna be arguing about Game of Thrones. I personally am gonna be arguing against Game of Thrones, while Riley and Ryan are gonna argue for Game of Thrones.
And of course, Game of Thrones is actually Jeff's favorite television
My
program.
Favorite of all
it's
time.
It's his favorite.
Okay, so I've been researching all week, trying to find an angle to come at to where people would basically feel where I'm coming from, because Game of Thrones is a huge, huge show. Everybody loves it. My argument... is nerds. It's the stupidest thing, but it's like the only thing I could come up with. So... I saw this guy talking about how Game of Thrones is racy, and he's like, I can't believe I'm watching this guy who just raped this girl at bow and arrow point, and I'm excited to see if his dogs are going to rip him to pieces, and he's like, it's just a terrible show. And I'm like, that was awesome to me. Like, I can't say that was bad. I'm sorry. It was just, you're just like, fuck yeah, kill that guy. Shut up, Ryan.
Game of Thrones right now.
So, the thing... Basically, Game of Thrones is like wizard porn, and if it was 1995, like Ryan just stated, we'd be shoving the kids into lockers who were watching this show. You know what I'm saying? Right now, it's the biggest show in the world, but 10, 15 years ago, every single one of those kids, that's Dungeons and Dragons kids, I would have been picking on them. So my thing that I'm arguing is that Game of Thrones is for nerds.
Well, you're not wrong, for the most part. But.
Oh, you're not offended by that, Ryan? He's calling you a nerd?
You're damn right.
Okay. Dude, I'm going to put my Letterman jacket on, and I'm going to shove you in a fucking locker all day long. We're wearing that stupid jacket around me.
Oh, yeah. I mean, is that it?
That's my premise, man. I don't have much. The only thing that I hated about Game of Thrones is you can tell when George R.R. Martin stopped writing it that some guys started taking over because everything started getting way too quick. Everything was predictable. You're like, that's going to happen.
No travel time.
That's going to happen. That's going to happen. And then it's just like, bam, bam, bam. Fucking Jon Snow is going to sleep with his goddamn aunt. Jon Snow is fucking Aegon Targaryen, just like everybody wanted.
Yeah, but the casual, you know, people who don't look into those things, those were all big surprises.
No, like, it wasn't that big of a surprise. I mean, I was excited as the next person that it happened.
That you could call out that they were going to fuck, like...
Everybody knew that.
But I think that's the part of the show. It's the puzzle. It's a puzzle.
Yeah,
and they've been leaving those clues in the books and the show forever.
From the very beginning, when those two met each other, it was like, oh, those two are going to fuck each other.
John and Daenerys.
Everybody's still like, oh, I don't think they're related. I don't think... They never actually said that Jon Snow is a Targaryen.
So is it better or worse that they fucked and are related?
I mean, it's...
This is the show that prizes incest.
Yes, I understand that.
That should
be
your point. You should use something like that as your point.
But nobody fucking cares about that shit anymore.
What, you don't care
about
incest
the time
incest
that you
stuff?
Saw two brothers and sisters fucking in season one, the first episode of season one, an aunt.
Hey, I'm not going to lie. That's actually what pulled me into the show.
An aunt and nephew. Okay, see, look, I can't argue
you're right,
that point.
You're right. Incest I can't argue is that point. Unequivocally
but,
a positive.
But point. From the beginning, when George R. R. Martin was writing the show and they were basing it all off of the books, it was good. You know, you didn't know what was going to happen. That's why fan theories came into play, because everybody was just, oh, what's this and what's that and what's this and what's that. But then the moment that they got ahead of the books, it fell off. You can just, the writing got shittier. Fucking, there's no travel time, so you have no fucking idea. Jon Snow could have been under that water for 70 years and nobody would know.
Yeah, you're kind of right. You're kind of right, but there's just a lot of shit they got to get through right now, and it's coming to an end.
I mean,
like
they
said,
don't have to get through it, though.
They could have extended it to 10 fucking episodes and put the travel time back
or
into it.
Or six seasons more. Like, they don't have to hurry it as much as they think they have to.
You're
we
arguing
all,
against it.
Well,
think so.
No, I'm arguing.
Yeah,
for,
they didn't have to do that. They could have extended it. They could have extended it longer. There's no reason that they had to cut all that shit out, because
they're
going to
make four spinoffs anyway.
The whole season, the whole last season was so rushed. There was so much going on, and it was just like, okay, so they left the wall, and all of a sudden they're at the fucking White Walkers.
No.
In the snap of a finger.
All of that was really cool.
Yeah, but it was so good.
No,
it wasn't great.
It was bad.
It was a lot of
this last season was so bad.
Every episode,
you know, I want the Game of Thrones that when you like every episode you finish it and you're like, holy shit, that was amazing. This episode was just like, oh, I wonder what's gonna happen next episode. You know, there was never the cliffhanger. There was never the moment where you actually just kept getting pulled in, because that's what I loved about Game of Thrones from the beginning. If you watched the season finale, you were so pulled in. You're just, God damn it, why isn't it here
already?
Yeah,
but here's the thing. I have a lot of people. I know a lot of people who have watched the show, and you know, they get super into it. And I have a buddy who's Robb Stark died, and the dude seriously quit watching the whole show. He got so mad, he stopped watching the show.
I actually remember
and all these things that are happening. He's like, all right, I've had enough dread. I've seen enough people die. You know?
No, but that's what made Game of Thrones great, that nobody was safe. That's the reason that I stopped watching The Walking Dead, because I'm like, fuck you guys, you're never going to kill off good people. But Game of Thrones was amazing because they're just like, I will kill everybody you love in this show. I don't care. Like, fuck Jon Snow, he should have just stayed dead. Fuck Daenerys Targaryen, she should have burned to death. They lost that edge that they had.
There is the edge, I'll give you that. I'll give you the edge. You're right, the grittiness was... That is what made the show great.
So I just want to clarify something. Jeff, do you think there should be more edge to make it better? Is that
yeah,
what you're saying?
I want there to be more rape. I want there to be...
Are you endorsing rape right now?
Fuck yes. In that show, I am 100%.
You should just not vote for Jeff because he likes to talk about
rape. No, that's not right. No, I said in this show. I clarified. I specified that I meant in this show. Because that's what this show is about. Anybody that watches Game of Thrones, if they're going to get on my dick about fucking being okay with fucking Ramsay chopping off the dude's dick, calling him Reek and not letting him take a shower and all this shit, and then you're going to get on my dick about fucking endorsing rape. No, that show was great because they pushed the limits, because they weren't afraid, because they weren't afraid to kill every single fucking person on there.
Now it's going
to
become a family show, and it's going to have a wider
demographic. No, fuck family shows. This is the only show that I get to watch where my kids aren't around. I'm like, no, go away. I'm watching my show.
Watch Game of Thrones with your kids around? Next season's going to be the most PG thing.
I mean, fucking, how are you going to...
Isn't it awesome?
You're going to have a bunch of kids. They're like, Mom, why is... what happened to Bran's legs?
There's still all that good sex. It's just not rapey anymore. Come on.
Yeah, it's a fucking eunuch without any balls or penis banging some girl.
I don't understand that. Like, you just go down on her, like...
No, dude, I just pictured them fucking scissoring. Like, that's all I could picture. Just,
oh, God.
Oh, that's the only way I can think it's going to work. But no, they lost their edge. When George R. R. Martin stopped basically basing this show off
when
the
they
books,
stopped
when they caught up to
the books,
and
yeah.
He wasn't ready...
That was great because
it
that
fell off.
That let Weiss and Benioff start writing the show on their own, and you know
they
qualified because
the
they solved one fan fiction theory.
They dropped the
years
ball
ago.
Like it wasn't good. The last season just wasn't good.
Jeff, I don't get why you would say that.
You know what? You're wrong. You're wrong on so many levels. It's not even funny.
But you guys haven't said anything that make it so.
No, it's
all you guys keep saying is that
dragon.
It's good, and you're trying
ice
to make
dragon.
Me look bad by endorsing rape. That's all you guys have said.
Jeff,
so.
Ice Dragon.
Doesn't matter.
It was really
could have
cool.
seen it a mile of fucking
Burn
way.
Down the wall.
The okay. moment she left she that castle.
She's been watching the show for since day one, obviously.
I actually
you can't
know,
tell
I
me
haven't.
That all the dread that's come, like your heart, you know, is in this show. All the dread that's come, you don't want to see closure. You don't want to see these characters like
no,
that you
I want
like.
Them all to fucking die. Star. I want them all happen? To die, and I want the Night King to rule the fucking kingdom. From the moment Daenerys said that she was going to go rescue Jon Snow, one of those dragons mm-hmm. is going to fucking die, and he's going to get turned into an ice dragon. I knew it 100%.
I knew that too.
It was so fucking predictable.
I could never have seen that coming.
It was so fucking predictable. It just...
And it's ridiculous.
Daenerys is stupid enough that she's going to take the only thing that could let him over the wall. It's fucking retarded.
Oh, yeah.
It's the stupidest move in the world. Daenerys Targaryen is a shitty-ass character. Fuck that show.
Oh, man.
But you guys still haven't done anything to prove me wrong.
Okay. How badass Arya and Sansa are taking down that douche.
Sansa's a bitch.
You did not see that coming because I didn't see that coming.
No,
that
the little finger thing was
no
the only thing.
No one saw that coming.
The little finger thing was the only thing, and doesn't matter. They had one unpredictability. That's congratulations for a show that was chocked full of it.
I thought Peter Baelish was going to take this to the end, and he didn't.
Yeah, a lot of people thought that.
I really didn't think that was going to happen.
No.
Dude, funny story, Riley was so fucking pissed about that. He's like, no, fuck that. They're not smart enough to beat Peter. Like,
they're not. I mean, there's a big bonus for Game of Thrones until this last season.
Arya is a whole other person now. It's not even funny.
No,
it's...
but Arya's still not, like, fucking... She's not Peter Baelish.
He doesn't think she's smart enough to beat Peter Baelish. We're getting off the topic, and you're starting to fight against...
Okay, well...
What's your argument? Yeah. Give it to me. I'll fight it.
Yeah, okay.
I'm getting way more confidence about this. This is actually working out pretty good for me.
Yeah, because you clearly aren't that big of a fan of this show.
Nope.
Oh, okay, so... Okay, before I start arguing, I will tell you that this show was rushed. And yeah, there's not as much dread as there used to be. But I think that's a good thing. That's what we've been waiting for. This is the light at the end of the tunnel, like I said. This is how it's got to be.
Yeah.
Now, things are getting sped up a little bit, sure. And I don't think that, actually, in the end, I think you're going to get what you want. I think you are going to get some dread at the end. Because I don't think anyone's really going to win. Someone could die that's important. It could be Tyrion could die or Bran could die. How about when Theon... bailed on Yara.
Yeah, he's a bitch. Like, the whole thing.
But at that time, you kind of thought that was pretty brutal. Oh, and Cersei with the sand snakes in the first episode when she's torturing both of them. I was so...
Not enough sex. They should have fucked. she should have just taken the sand snakes' clothes off. I'd be like, this is my revenge. You guys have to touch me.
But seriously, I was uncomfortable during that scene. I was so uncomfortable when Cersei... was torturing them.
But in all, it just wasn't good. The whole story just fell off in this last season.
You know, I think you're stupid.
No, you can't just call me names. It's a true story. It was so predictable. There were a couple good moments, but a lot of them were just stupid moments.
You're stupid.
Like when the Hound went up and talked to fucking...
From what I'm gathering, the things you think are stupid are from a specific episode, and I believe it was episode 6. It's when they're behind the wall, and it's the episode the dragon becomes an ice dragon.
No. No, it's the episode before that, because...
Which was awesome, by the way, even though it was kind of cheesy, but it was awesome.
Yeah, my favorite house came back. Baratheons. How can you dislike a show that has Baratheons in it?
No, Jeff? Fuck the Baratheons. Baratheons. I can't even say their fucking names.
Hold on.
Back on that season one, and his acting, the guy who acted as Robert Baratheon, that guy was awesome.
Yeah.
Just like living, like he was honestly going through a midlife crisis, like when he's trying to put that armor on.
The Baratheons are the best people.
Yeah, he's just like, man, I'm too fat for this now. Man, I used to be able to.
That
even
dude
the,
picked up a Warhammer with one hand. Yeah,
I
knocked Rhaegar the fuck down.
But I hate that I'm arguing against this show.
No, you don't. Completely hate this show.
Ugh.
I just gotta say, so Ryan keeps coming back to this light at the end of the tunnel thing, and it feels like you just, every time you're presented with that, you just skip over it. But
what?
Like, the thing is, why don't you want to just, why can't happy be a good thing with Game of Thrones?
Because that's what made the show great. I don't know how I skipped over it. I've explained this like 10 times.
Edginess is still there.
But very, very little.
Imagine what's going to happen to Cersei. I mean, you think Cersei's just going to get shot with an arrow if she dies?
Yeah, but the whole reason the show became so huge is because they weren't afraid to push the bounds. That's what I loved about it from the beginning.
Storytelling. No matter what, nothing gets in the way of their storytelling.
The shock value, I'll give you that.
But most of it was just set up so that way it could give the people what they wanted. Fucking Jon Snow being a Targaryen, I think, was just because they didn't know what else to do. So they, let's just give the people what they want. Hmm. Well, okay. Hmm. I don't agree with that. Sorry. Hmm. Scratch that from the record
book. Giving everybody what they want. Sounds like an awful TV show,
Jeff. Scratch that from the record
book. Sounds like something no good thing would ever do.
That's Daenerys and fucking Jon hooking up. That's what everybody wanted. Everybody wanted them to shack up. It was, I don't know why, but they're just like, yeah, fuck yeah, do it.
The protagonist of this whole story.
Yeah, but it's just...
They are the Song of Fire and Ice.
The thing that made the show...
Holy shit, they
fucking
are.
Hate you.
You just lost.
No!
You can't be hating on the main characters of the show, Jeff.
Yeah, man, that was a...
It's a low blow.
That was the worst thing you made all night.
Wow.
That was a cheap shot.
Hey.
That was a cheap shot. A low blow.
I bet you hate Star Wars because Princess Leia, too, huh? Because
she's a hoe.
She's dead. You can't say that. You can't say that.
I can
that.
Say it if I want to. This is America. I can say whatever the fuck I want.
Have you been in America lately?
This is Trump's America now, boy.
This is Trump's America.
This is Trump's America.
The reason I think I don't want it to be happy. Game of Thrones is great because it's not your typical fucking TV show. It's not
a fairy tale. It's not The Princess Bride.
Yeah, it's not a fairy tale. Like, nobody gets to win in this game. That's the point of it. Like, everybody's gonna lose.
I don't think anybody is.
But that's how it should be.
That's how it was.
It's
gonna end, Jeff. I think you're actually ultimately gonna get your wish in the end.
So why
nobody's
going to
be happy at the end of this show.
They lost that in this now. They don't have that anymore. I don't think that they're going to do that because too many people would be like, and then they're afraid that they're not going to watch the stupid spinoffs. They're going to fucking juice it up and make it a fairy tale to make people happy just so they come back to watch the 7 spinoffs that they're going to keep making people pay $15 a fucking month to watch on HBO.
You know what?
100%.
Because it's worth it. It's worth it.
You know, I've been paying it for the last, like, 4 fucking years for it. I get it. But still, that's what's going to happen. They're not gonna end it the way it should have ended, the way George R.R. Martin would have ended it. Everybody's
going
to
fucking
die.
Any other internet person who doesn't like anything or who has something to complain about, they're just going to end up watching it anyways.
Yeah,
you're already hooked in, and that was enough.
Yeah, but they're afraid. Today's world, they're afraid.
They're afraid.
Just like every other TV show.
This is the thing about Game of Thrones now, is I'm no longer afraid. Now, going back to how you said how dreadful it was, I remember every week when I used to have to watch a new episode of Game of Thrones, I'd be like, oh man, I gotta do this today? All right, Game of Thrones tonight. Okay, yeah, let's do this. You know, I was really dreading it to points. I was like, tonight's just not gonna be good. I don't, you know. And that was a good thing. But I mean, I'm done feeling. Now I'm excited about it every week. Now I'm like, all right, now the good guys, that's what made it great.
No, when you love something, why do you want to go into that thing expecting it to be not?
At the end of the episode, so you have your favorite character, right? We'll say Robb Stark. Robb Stark was a lot of people's favorite character, and every single episode that he was getting more and more power, you were just jacked, like fuck yeah, like he's gonna rule the Iron Throne. And then all of a sudden, that just drops and. You think to yourself, well, what am I going to do now? The person that I wanted the most is dead. You know, there's nothing else to keep watching it. And then you watch it again. And then fucking Arya, same thing. Like, you start seeing Arya build up into this person. You're like, yes.
Her quest has been very tragic.
Yeah, are you happy that Arya got kidnapped and ran through the wild? And
no, I'm hoping that bitch died. It still could happen.
It's not.
You shut your mouth, Ryan. You don't know. You don't know for sure. Until it happens, you don't know for sure. That's what made the show great. That's why I kept watching it every day. Because I didn't watch it at first. You gave me the first, like, 4 seasons of it. And I watched them just in a row, and it was great. Every single time I watched an episode, I was rooting for another person. I was hoping that somebody else was going to live. And then when they lived, I was jacked at the end of it.
You're describing this as, like, a great show I should go watch.
But it's not that anymore. It's a fucking fairy tale.
Okay.
I might as well be watching fucking a Disney movie now. Because that's what it is. Fucking Daenerys is going to find Prince Charming. Goddamn Jon Snow. Just weird enough that they're related. Fucking Tyrion's going to get everything he wants because, you know, he's Tyrion Lannister and they don't want to hurt him because everybody loves him. Varys is still alive. How the fuck is that guy still alive?
It's Varys, by the way.
Don't you start with my pronunciations.
You don't even know the name of the character.
I'm going to own that shit. Varys. That's what I'm going to call it.
Out of spite?
That's definitely how they pronounce it in the audiobooks because I've listened to the audiobooks on three of them.
That's right. I remember he always
calls him Varys.
Still listen to it every morning.
Yeah, they call him Varys. That's what I'm going for.
Okay.
But still, anyway. That guy's still alive. He shouldn't be because he's fucking useless. All he does is have birds.
He might die. Dude, you still have a whole other season.
Yeah.
And especially the last season, each episode's going to be 2 hours long. That's a movie every week. And it's just Game of Thrones movie.
I'll tell you what's going to happen right now. I'm going to predict.
The only thing I would say that I don't like about Game of Thrones, my only problem right now is that where's Ghost? That's my only thing that I would say that is bad about Game of Thrones.
Yeah, but.
And that's not even a bad argument.
I'm going to predict it right now. I'm going to predict it right now what's going to happen.
What? All right, let's see.
Jon Snow's going to be the king. Daenerys is going to be his queen. Tyrion Lannister's going to be the hand of the king. Fucking Varys is going to be there too. Because he won't die. Fuck him.
Stupid idiot.
No, the more
Sansa
will be there.
Hold on. I'm not done. You shut your mouth. Bran is going to be there too. Sansa's going to die. I'm going to call that one. Fuck her.
She looked lovely on the night she was there.
Jesus. and
awkward.
The only people that are going to die, I think, are Sansa, because fuck her, and Cersei, fucking Mountain. Those are the only people that are going to die.
I don't think Jaime's going to die.
Jaime's going to go side with Tyrion, and Tyrion's going to be right there with him.
No, nope, Jaime will die, and Tyrion's going to see it firsthand.
No.
And I got to tell you this, Jon Snow, since when did Jon Snow ever want to do anything more than what he thinks he's supposed to do? Like, Jon Snow isn't going to be like, oh, I now have, like, out of nowhere, someone's going to be like, you're actually king. And he's not, Jon Snow's never been one to jump at an opportunity like that. Jon Snow's always humble and says, that's not who I am. That's
he's going to do it because they're going to find out his lineage and they're going to push him toward it. Just like did the King of the North.
No, Jon Snow will stay in the North. And he will let Daenerys do it. Him and Daenerys are in love now. And even when they do say something about the aunt or whatever, you know, they'll find a way around it. It won't matter.
No,
the show is so predictable.
Within the first,
it's called the Song of Ice and Fire.
Fire and Ice.
They're gonna do their thing, or Fire and Ice. I don't know.
you don't even know the names of the books. -1 point from Ryan.
It's predictable. The whole show is predictable. That's what's going to happen. I'm calling it right now, and we'll see next year or in the next 4 fucking years, because God knows they're not going to make it right away.
That's how fucking the show is I would kill myself if it came out in 4 years.
That's ridiculous. That is so ridiculous.
But they said, you gotta wait 5 years. I'm done. I don't know how much time I got left. I can't do this.
Jeff's argument is pretty much you should kill yourself now because the show sucks.
No.
Jeff is saying you should kill yourself.
Fucking everybody should kill themselves. If they're just waiting for Game of Thrones to get good again, it's never going to get good again.
Who cares about character development? Let's just introduce a character and have her die the next episode.
No, because you'd be The Walking Dead.
Exactly. We don't want to be The Walking Dead.
Exactly. But that's what they are. They're being The Walking Dead. Nobody exciting is going to die anymore. Because everybody's all of a sudden super fucking smart. Everybody's so
Tormund
fucking smart now.
Tormund died.
What?
Tormund died.
You don't know that. You don't know that.
Totally.
We don't know that officially.
Everybody thinks he's still alive. He's going to... Everybody keeps talking about the same thing. They're like, oh, if Tormund does,
I'll
we're going to rage.
I'll meet you in the middle. If Tormund is alive next season, then I'll concede forever that Game of Thrones is a piece of shit that's afraid to kill characters.
That's what they are.
If Tormund dies, then the show remains its integrity.
I guarantee they won't kill him off.
You think that they're
Because
be
that's how predictable this show has gotten.
Are they just
so
catering
much.
To the audience?
Yes.
You remember loving a show called The Office and how much you loved it when Pam and
Jim... Actually, I hated that show.
Okay, well, screw you. I'm not even going to get into that. But
The Office was great. Jeff's just a douche.
But you can't tell me that you love it when he flirts with Bryn. Bryn of Tyre, whatever.
When a plan comes together.
No.
Love it. It's one of the things I like about that show.
No, it's great that they tease about it. It's funny, you know, because she just doesn't want anything to do with him.
And
but
you're not even getting into some other things about Game of Thrones that were bad.
Yeah, but I've found the base of my argument, and it's good.
We'll see when the vote comes back in.
It's a good argument. There's a good basis argument. And I bet most people that watch Game of Thrones agree with me that it's not good anymore.
We'll see.
I think you're getting into hardcore fandom, which I think you do fall into.
I plead the fifth on that. I'm not going to comment or deny it.
You are a fanboy. You're a picky fanboy is what it is.
Maybe that's what I am, but they're not willing to push the envelope anymore. And that's what the show, that's what drove the show home for a lot of people, I think.
That's what the show would need to keep going, but the show is not going to keep going. The show needs closure. Really, we need to start closing some doors, man.
Yeah, fucking nukes. Just
nukes.
Fuck everybody.
Just a nuke in that show is a dragon, and we saw what just happened.
Yeah.
There will be nukes, all right.
But it's...
It was wildfire nuke, but Cersei used that to destroy sparrows, the high sparrow, or whatever.
I just really believe that it just stopped. It stopped being good. The show became predictable. Everybody knew what everything was going to happen. I mean, you both have to tell me that you knew everything that was going on the whole time. Nothing was a shocker.
Yeah, I'm a writer.
There's maybe one or two moments.
I know what's
going
to happen anytime I watch anything.
I almost thought at the end when Jaime said he was going to leave. I thought Cersei was actually... I thought that was going to be our last death before the show started. Going to cut Jaime down.
I would have respected that.
Last episode that Cersei was going to kill him. I thought that was it. And I was surprised.
I would have respected that. I would have been sad because I like Jaime, but I respected that. If that was how it ended, I would have thought to myself, this is the Game of Thrones that I love.
Okay.
And I would have been just super pumped for the next season. But they're just not that Game of Thrones anymore.
No.
They're too afraid to kill somebody off because they think they're going to lose fans. When in reality, that's what made the show great.
That's not worried about it anymore, man. I don't think they're worried about losing fans anymore. I don't think that's a thing at all.
That's exactly what is happening, though.
Yeah, with one more season left, you've already got your bandwagon. You already have the people you're trailing behind you.
Yeah, but...
At this point, it's just giving them a good finale.
But and people drop off all the time.
I can guarantee you, Game of Thrones' finale could be the worst finale ever, but I can guarantee you it'll be the most viewed finale ever.
Oh. Yeah, but it doesn't mean that it's good. That's the problem, because people drop off all the time. You know, I keep going back to The Walking Dead, and I loved The Walking Dead. We're using up a lot of time on this first argument, so we're going to kind of transition. My argument is that Game of Thrones used to just have people on the edge of their seats all the time, and now it's more sit back in a comfy chair with an ottoman kind of show, because you're not afraid of anything happening because you could already predict it before it happens.
Okay, well, Riley, do you want to wrap up this thing, or do you want me to?
Yeah, what's your guys' argument?
You know what? I think I'm going to give it to the other biggest Game of Thrones fan in the room. So I'll let Ryan give a wrap-up as to why Game of Thrones is great and Jeff is just a terrible person.
If you want a great story that's, you know, kind of like Lord of the Rings, but it doesn't go too far, you know, magic doesn't show up until, like, the third season, and it's something that's long gone. But I think that's what was cool about Game of Thrones. Game of Thrones, like Jeff was saying, was real gritty up until season 4. But by the time you get to season 4, you've had enough of gritty. Once you get to season 5 through, I think we're in 7 now, the show starts to pay off and it's amazing. All in all, Game of Thrones is a great story. It's epic. That's all I got to say.
I agree with Ryan.
I disagree. I disagree 100%.
Of course you disagree. That's the whole point of this. Get out of here. No one wants to hear you anymore.
You know what else is great and epic? Our ads that we're going to roll right now.
If you guys enjoyed this episode of Antisocial Engineering, check out our Patreon. Subscribe to the ASE Facebook and tell your mom about us. You know you want to. So be antisocial, but come join the party at www.patreon.com/antisocialengineering. Hey everybody, check out the brains behind the music of Antisocial Engineering. My main man, Ryan Medina, you can catch him at www.soundcloud.com/Ryan-Medina-1.
Never before.
Gay.
Is that how we're playing this, Jeff?
Okay, I'm sorry. All seriousness.
Okay, listen, motherfucker.
I kill myself.
Best storylines in comic books. They're giving you the best characters. They're giving you amazing content. Great heartfelt storytelling. What do you have to laugh about?
Yes.
That about?
Laugh at that argument.
No, keep going.
No.
Keep going.
No, we're waiting. Patiently.
Dude, with the exception of Supergirl, which is like this weird pro-feminist like propaganda that they're passing as a superhero show.
I thought that was the best one.
No, listen. The Flash is the highest, one of the highest rated shows even on TV. It's got higher IMDb ratings than fucking Walking Dead, than fucking Game of Thrones now. It's super well received. Everybody loves the show. It's my favorite show. Grant Gustin's the perfect Barry Allen. He should have been cast in the DCEU movies, which...
Not going to disagree with you on that. I'm not going to disagree with you on that.
I won't either.
Which are... I like them. The DCEU movies are DC movies. We're finally getting a coherent network of these movies.
Yeah, but everything is so rushed.
Yeah, like, they're trying to play catch up with a company that's been around for a lot longer.
Why?
In order to get the fans they want. Yeah, it's a lot, real quick.
They need to just build it just the same way. They could have done that. Just...
But, I mean, ask yourself. Like, you're living in a world where you've got your Marvel Universe. Like, nothing's going to touch that slow burn goodness we all love. But this is also a universe where we don't have to wait 7 years to watch 4 superhero movies by DC.
Okay,
we're getting,
I won't disagree with you,
5 of them real quick, and it's like, oh, cool, we've been wanting this for a decade.
But then once you get it, it's bad.
Yeah, it's not always bad.
Once you get it, you get Suicide Squad.
Suicide Squad was great.
It's not.
Suicide Squad has an astounding soundtrack, an amazing cast of characters, and of actors playing those characters.
Wait, did you just describe Guardians of the Galaxy?
No, that movie was shit. We're not here to talk about Marvel.
Oh,
that movie was bad.
That's amazing.
That movie was, look at my 80s nostalgia dick and suck it. Like, fuck that.
Yeah, it looks like you have Guardians of the Galaxy tattooed on your dick. Because that's literally what you're explaining.
No,
They tried to do what Guardians of the Galaxy did. That's literally everything they tried, keyword, tried to do.
Oh,
no,
Ryan, I love you
bullshit.
Right now.
Shut up, Jeff. Arrow's amazing. Arrow is the show that, like, made superhero TV shows acceptable. It's not a soap opera anymore. That was season 4.
I'll just watch Days of Our Lives.
Felicity's banging, though.
Problem with Arrow is that Felicity. Felicity, she's got to go. No, she's got to go fall in love with someone else who's not Arrow.
Season 5 was just a lot of comic book badassness, dude. Prometheus was amazing. He just shows up.
Wait, are you talking about the movie, or is that in the show?
Oh, no. Prometheus is a character in the Arrow. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I haven't watched...
Prometheus definitely doesn't carry the weight he should in those shows. He kind of did, but just not the weight he should have. Prometheus in the comics, and I don't want to get into the comics. We're talking about TV shows.
Yeah, naturally. But we can agree that Prometheus in the comics was a badass. He cut off Roy's arm, and...
He did rape somebody, and that was really bad.
And then he, you know... killed Roy Arsenal / Speedy's daughter by blowing up.
And by the way, the rape thing was in the comics, so let's not. But that character is a really bad character, actually. It should be.
Bad isn't good? Bad isn't evil? Or bad isn't.
Bad. This is a bad person.
Oh, yeah, he's a really bad character. And they did that really well. He came in and just was like, I'm just going to taunt Oliver Queen for a whole season because I'm bored. If other criminals try to take him down, I'll kill those criminals too. Like, he was a menace, and he was so terrifying right out of the comic books.
What I'm going to say about Arrow real quick is that season 1 was slow, but I loved it. It got me going. And then season 2 was phenomenal. Slade Wilson, should be a series regular.
And Slade is back. He's
amazing. And then
Slade is back, man.
Season 3, and I wanted to just... I didn't want to do anything with my life.
No, like,
that.
At the end of season 5, Oliver goes and gets Slade, and Slade's back now. Like, I just finished watching the first episode of Arrow season 6, because that aired yesterday, and the episode was phenomenal.
You liked that? Like that?
Yeah.
It
was great.
Did you watch it, Ryan?
Did you like it? You didn't like it?
I'm going to be honest with you.
I wish they would just tell us Speedy was dead.
I do keep up. Okay, so I haven't watched for the last 2 seasons... But I kept a really close eye on it, and I do that. Just like when I was talking about my friend who, you know, stopped watching Game of Thrones because Robb Stark died. He kept up on it. And it's just not something that I want to get back into. It's a whole... They're just bringing in all these new guys, these new superheroes. No one really cares about half these. Ragman.
Ragman was amazing. He should have been in way more than 3 episodes.
Yeah, and underutilized.
Exactly. Yeah, underutilized. I agree. He's...
The writing in that show.
The writing's all right. There was that really emotional moment when Ragman finds out Felicity, like, basically killed everyone he knows and loves.
Except Felicity was in the scene.
I mean, yeah, okay, we can all agree, fuck Felicity in every way.
Literally.
she brings that show down, man.
You know what's great about The Flash is that they're setting it up for some, like, season 6, season 7 Flash Missing in Crisis shit. And then, you know who's going to be Flash for, like, a season, probably, or two?
Well, it have to be Wally.
Wally's going to be the Flash on this show. I see the show being like a sitcom. The show, like, not a sitcom, like a soap opera. Like, honestly, not it in content.
And that's why I hate it.
It so is much. A soap opera, but it's good. It's 90210 with super speed. Whatever.
That's the only saving grace for these shows, is that it's the CW show. Stephen Amell is always on Facebook. He's always talking about cancer. You know, he's got the Fuck Cancer campaign. He makes wine. Stephen Amell is an amazing guy. I could watch Stephen Amell stare at me for a whole hour.
Absolutely.
That's how much I like the guy. And okay. That's the only reason why these shows are actually doing as good as they are.
But that's
no matter
okay.
what, these shows can suck.
Let's concede that, right? Like, not everything has to be the next Wire or Breaking Bad or Game of Thrones. We can have this thing that is just what it is in this nice niche in this little area, and we can just enjoy that. And that's the best part about this, is the Flash is going to be on air for 25 seasons. They're just going to keep making
that
it.
That actually disappoints me.
No, it's going to be amazing. Because you're going to have, like, generations, dude. Like, one day we're going to get to fucking Bart Allen in the show, and he's going to be running around being Impulse and shit.
Yeah, unless they do what they did with Arrow, and they do Connor Hawk or that some bullshit like that. Like, that was ridiculous.
I mean, but then remember The Flash, they preempted that. Like, that was Legends Season 1, and then they got, like, in the Flashpoint thing, right. They bring in John's baby. Like, they retcon. We were all like, he doesn't have a son, though. These writers in this network, they're so good at what they're doing. They're weaving plots together. This is like DC Comic Events, but, like, on TV. I get how you can have some problems with the cinematic universe, but how you can dispute that the TV universe is knocking it out of the park, I don't understand.
It was at one point. It was knocking it out of the park at one point. But I think they got way over their head. I honestly think that's what it is. I can't argue with people who just love these people in real life. People just love Grant Gustin. People love, I forgot the woman who plays Felicity, but people love her. People love these people. These people are constantly in contact with their Facebook pages and stuff, and people love them. And that's the only reason why these shows are doing good.
See, that the only argument I have for the DC shows is that I started watching them. I was really into them. I really liked all of them. And then all at once, it started to become, I'm only watching them for the sake of watching them because I was excited that they were on. It wasn't because I was enjoying it. It was like, ah, I knew The Flash came out. I better go watch that because
if I don't,
Ryan's going to bitch at me as soon as I get to work. Like, dude, did you see Arrow last night? Like, no. Why not? That might have happened a few times.
I mean, the biggest problem I see going into the future of the TV shows is that I'd be okay with them canceling everything but The Flash.
I would be okay with them canceling everything but Legends of Tomorrow. That's the only thing that DC has going for it right now on TV.
That's not very popular of an opinion. Most people don't watch Legends as much as they watch the other
and
shows.
And Legends should be watched more because it's original. There is no... DC's Legends of Tomorrow, the characters are based off comic book characters, but that whole plot line, that whole story is not based off anything. There is no DC's Legends of Tomorrow comic. That is original. And that's what makes... There's no romance.
See,
there's barely any romance in Legends of Tomorrow.
Ray's in love... Awesome. No, there's Ray and Nate. Ray and Nate get attached to every girl they talk to. They're sappy romance love bullshit.
Ray is a playboy, billionaire, philanthropist?
Philanthropist? Yeah, philanthropist. Ray is Iron Man. Like,
yeah,
that's...
and that's his charm. But deep down, I actually love that character. I think
he's my favorite
sweet.
Character in that show. He's the main reason I want it.
And see, so if you're going to talk about DC television, I think DC Legends of Tomorrow is the only great that's coming out of all
of them. Thanks for helping my argument. DC Legends of Tomorrow is amazing.
But that's one show that nobody watches.
See, I've never watched any of it because most of the
it's so fun.
None of the characters...
It's better than any Justice League movie we're ever going to get.
None of the characters were of any interest. It's like watching Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
That's all. I'm just going to wrap it up.
I have one argument.
What?
Batman versus Superman.
Okay. See now. Okay. I can say a lot of good things about some things, DC, but if we're going to get into the movie universe, I can say a lot of bad things about this.
Well, that's what we want you to do.
You talked about Suicide Squad, and I never had my chance to say no.
See?
Come at me, man.
Give me some final thoughts on what you like about it.
Suicide Squad. Now, you were talking about how, you know, everything was put together. It was like a comic book. Like, literally, we see Suicide Squad. We get the introductions were amazing, by the way. That's actually one thing I'll pull from that movie, how they introduced each character. That was really fun.
Yeah,
like,
fucking
really
amazing.
Cool.
You're right.
That was really cool. Then the movie just totally shits on itself halfway through once they get to the city, and they have to start fighting those, like, I think they must be possessed or something. Enchantress was the worst idea for a villain. Why would you make your villain one of the team members, and why not make that a twist, which it was not? It was clearly the thing from the beginning. I think that movie should have honestly been Assault on Arkham. Maybe a lot less Batman, obviously, if you want to highlight the team. But that should have just been a Black Ops movie where these people go into Arkham Asylum. They got to bust out some Black Ops files and bust them back out. And then in the middle of that, you can have the Joker and Batman. That would have been perfect.
Or introduce Riddler.
You could have done that,
Jim
too.
Jim Carrey.
Nah, dude, they take that kid from Criminal Minds.
Jim Carrey, that's honestly how Jared Leto's Joker was. Suicide Squad, to me, was just badly written. I think it went in a bad direction. I think the movie studios had something to do with that. I think what they wanted to do would have been great. I think it looked great on paper. I don't think Jared Leto was given as much creative control as Heath Ledger was. Heath Ledger was given a camera and a guy, and he filmed that one scene where he's got that dude tied up and he's filming the scene. Heath Ledger directed that scene. I don't think Jared Leto was even given any control over that.
Like creative leeway?
I think he was given any
of that. Which, if they did, would be great because he's a great actor and he can do it.
And I will say about, like, Suicide Squad.
Mr. Nobody.
What?
Have you seen Mr. Nobody?
No.
Jared Leto can fucking act. And if they give him more control of the character, And why wasn't he on the soundtrack? Like,
30 Seconds to Arkham going for the Suicide Squad. Yeah, it would have been a hell of a lot better than that fucking bullshit Ethan song.
Yeah.
God damn.
Oh, I agree.
What are those guys?
21 Pilots.
Get out of here. I hate those guys.
I actually used to really like them.
Used to.
Real quick back to Suicide Squad. You know, I know you need to argue about this because I got to tell you, I fucking hate that movie.
I liked it. I did. Hate that movie. It was a fun time. It came out 2 days before my 18th birthday. It was...
How are you feel nostalgic about it, then?
Fuck, maybe, dude.
Dude, nostalgia has a lot to do with
a lot
of things.
I was so hyped for this movie, too, yeah.
That's why I still like the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers movie, but that thing is garbage.
No, Suicide Squad was just a bad movie. It was just a bad direction. That ending was just awful. That part where they infiltrate to get those files, or they end up finding Amanda Waller in the middle of that movie, I don't remember what it is, but it's pretty cool. That whole scene was actually really cool. But that's essentially what the whole movie should have been about.
Yeah.
It was about this. Figuring all that out. That whole Enchantress bullshit is dumb. I've read her in the comics, and she's not as conniving. She might have, actually, at her first appearance, she might have been that conniving, but she was never that conniving. She was never one to, you know, that's the thing about these people is that they're bad, but they're not bad because they want to be bad. These people are bad because that's just what they know, and that's what they, you know, they had a bad upbringing or something like that. Like Killer Croc, he's ugly. So he's been picked on his whole life. Harley Quinn, she's been in Stockholm Syndrome her whole life. Floyd Lawton, Deadshot's just trying to kill people for his daughter.
Yeah, sounds like they have great character development.
Yeah, great character development. Those are amazing characters.
Sounds like an awesome movie. I won.
No.
What? That's what he's saying. He's saying that
they did capitalize
on that character development.
Obviously, she's having some sort of Stockholm Syndrome. Like, she fucking, like, walks off the edge of the building while there's 100 people firing guns around her.
Fair enough. As a matter of fact, I might have just highlighted the
everything's
best
good about the Suicide Squad movie. Yeah, absolutely.
Those characters.
Yeah.
But okay, I mentioned Killer Croc, and that guy was just dumb.
No. He was. I agree.
Killer Croc was a shitty character, and so Captain Boomerang? Like, he's got this cool British accent, right
cool
on. You know, the guy
cannon.
Gets drunk, right on. I didn't do shit. He hid out behind a fucking truck and chugged a 12. That's something I would do. I hide behind a car and chug a fucking 16-ouncer of beer. Like, that's something I would do. That's not something Captain Boomerang.
And you're awesome, right? You're like a good... You're a big fan of yourself, aren't you?
I thought Killer Croc was pointless, and I also thought that Captain Boomerang is pointless. And
no.
I don't base this off anything. It's just...
Killer, it was,
Killer
it was
Croc
cool
has
to see
three
Killer Croc.
Lines.
There's a Batman villain we've never seen on screen. You're welcome.
Okay,
don't
so
get
hold
caught
on.
Up with that either. Katana,
yeah,
is one of my favorite like C-listers.
She was done better in Arrow.
I mean, my opinion's pretty not biased. I liked Suicide Squad. It was an okay movie. It was entertaining. I bought it. So I still want to talk about Batman versus Superman.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
I know that Riley liked Batman versus Superman because he likes Ben Affleck.
That's yes. All the argument I need is if we're talking current DC stuff, we now have the greatest Batman we've ever had.
That's not going to be Batman.
He's the Robert Downey Jr. of Batman. Like,
I loved the costume design. I loved Ben Affleck as Batman.
I hate his ears.
The small ears, I'm all for it. I loved Wonder Woman.
Oh, yeah.
There's a scene where she sees a baby for the first time, and she is so ignorant and so cute and so charming. Even when she talks, like, there's a scene in that movie where Steve Trevor's naked, and she's never seen what, she doesn't understand what she's seeing, like, you know. She sees him, and she's just so charming and so cute and naive, and I love it about, the whole movie, she's naive.
I mean, it would have been better if she touched him a little bit, you know? Just, like, cut away.
It's not a porno, man.
Then totally you're gonna fuck. You think, like, some dude, like, Steve Trevor's just a guy. You know, like, the second the cameras are away, like, you know, like Steve Trevor, just like, come on, Diana, let me just stick it in a little bit. Just touch it.
I love their chemistry. And I actually have a really close friend who posted on Facebook about this argument saying, you know, Moana had more woman's, you know, feminism, woman's strength.
I remember this Facebook post.
Yeah, he was really against, he thought Moana was a better, you know, woman-empowering movie. And I haven't seen Moana, so I'm not going to get into that.
The thing I hated the most about Wonder Woman was how it was trying to be an empowering movie. Movies aren't about empowerment, they're about entertainment. And at the end of the day,
that movie actually made me feel empowered. I guess it must have been the timing. Because Wonder Woman made me feel so good after that. I quit my job, I thought I shouldn't, and then I watched Wonder Woman, and I felt so good about myself. I was like, this is awesome.
Never seen Wonder Woman, no.
Okay, with my argument, Wonder Woman is probably the best DC movie has to offer. Like, the DC movies, Wonder Woman is the best one so far.
You heard it. Ryan likes Wonder Woman, which is DC. Everybody, vote up DC movies.
But you know what's funny is a lot of people don't like Wonder Woman. A lot of people won't watch
Wonder
it.
Woman was in Batman v Superman.
Now, we're not going to talk about Batman v Superman. That movie was full of bullshit.
That movie was perfect.
Oh, perfect.
It had the comedian in it.
I love it. Perfect.
It had a ninja turtle. It had like Michael Bay's
and dad who dies.
It had like Michael Bay's version of a ninja turtle.
So Maggie from The Walking Dead was also Bruce Wayne's mom.
Yeah.
Cool screen time. Thanks for the cameo. Is that gonna give us a plus one? No.
Dude, that's
those
great.
Guys barely acted. Hey, come here and die.
Maggie,
hold him.
Maggie and Negan. No. What that does is
that movie is the fact that Maggie and Negan are in the movie. That guy uses those people for everything.
So,
yeah, which is great because that means when they eventually make the Flashpoint movie, he'll be Thomas Wayne.
See,
won't that be badass as fuck?
I honestly doubt that's going
to
happen.
The thing I think is stupid is...
would be amazing.
Why do they have to keep reintroducing how the parents died?
Now, we're talking about that introduction scene. You want to get to the point where Batman, as a boy, gets lifted up by bats? What the fuck is that?
It was a nightmare.
No, that wasn't a nightmare. That was Bruce reliving his tragedy when he fell in the hole. Picked up by bats.
It was cinematically nice. It was
bullshit. No man, no boy, no man can get picked up by bats.
Yeah, that doesn't even make any sense.
That was done.
Yeah, but like, then he moved those tires around, and did you see how big his arms were?
Yeah, that was pretty good.
And when the cop was in that building and he just like zoomed across the...
Yeah, Ben Affleck's got a nice ass. Who cares?
Way to sound gay.
It's a montage scene. You could have played Now You're a Man in the middle of that and that would have been perfect. Yeah, when Batman has that one scene where he fucking Batman Arkham Asylum, you know, the video games?
Oh, absolutely. It's just like...
That was the best Batman scene I've ever seen. Dude, that part where he like... What does he do? He, like, slams that dude's head on the floor.
He breaks at least one of their arms.
Yeah, he killed... He definitely killed the guy.
He definitely is killing...
Ryan, you gotta stop arguing for it.
Yeah,
I know.
At the end of this episode...
Shit.
We're gonna know...
But Ben Affleck was in it, and he was pretty good. Yeah. So was Gail Goodell. Those are my good things.
So, So basically, your argument is that the TV shows
are amazing.
Are the best thing the DC universe they have, has
okay,
to offer.
Okay, I'll simplify my whole argument into just this sentence. Just this sentence, ready? They have the best lead actors for all these roles. Nobody, aside from Justin Hartley 7 years ago, can play Green Arrow as well as Stephen Amell, I don't believe. Nobody can be the Flash better than Grant Gustin is the Flash.
Except for we've already talked about that the Green Arrow is not the real Green Arrow.
Well, no, but he will grow that beard eventually. He is Green Arrow. Like, don't worry. Sure. He'll slowly evolve into that character.
I agree. He's Green Batman.
But my point only, he's the only one who is that good at being that Green Batman. Okay, whatever. Affleck is the best Batman. They've got fucking Jason Momoa as what is going to be the best Aquaman.
Well, the only Aquaman.
No. Best Aquaman. Justin Hartley did a pilot for a show called
Mercy. Oh, shit. There was an Aquaman in Smallville.
Yeah, that happened too. That was
Smallville. Yes, I almost forgot about that.
Castle.
But still, and that's the guy who did Raphael in the TMNT movies, actually. The guy that played Aquaman in Smallville.
I didn't know that. I only knew him as Thad Castle from the show Blue Mountain State.
Okay.
I know that too. Yeah.
I know who you're talking about now. Okay.
Rise of Thadland. Anyway, so what is your one-sentence argument as to why no one should ever watch DC movies again?
I would honestly say right now, The Flash isn't looking so good. DC movies? No. Batman versus Superman was a convoluted mess. I think that there was highlights in that movie that were good, but I don't think it's worth money on. If you can pirate it. I don't think I'm supposed to say that.
That's okay.
But
doesn't matter.
Suicide Squad, same deal. I wouldn't pay for that shit. And I didn't pay for that. I actually have a friend who gave me his HBO account. That's how I watched Suicide Squad. Batman vs. Superman, I actually did pay for it. But it's so I could have an opinion to say that it was bad. And it was just bad. Both of them were bad. There might be silver linings to those movies. But as a whole, it's just not good cinematic. It's just not. It's not good writing, and it's just bad acting on some people's parts. So that's what I'll say about those.
Are you ready for my one-sentence spiel?
Yeah. Give us it.
Just because Stephen Amell has a six-pack doesn't make him a good actor. Boom.
Word.
I just summed it up. I just summed up my argument.
Yeah.
Because I didn't really have any.
He's fighting against
okay,
cancer.
Shut up. Don't try to take a high road. So, okay, my thing is, they got all these people, for Arrow especially, they got all these people. Stephen Amell brings all the girls, and he's always got a shirt off because he's... And then
he really does.
They have Felicity Smoke, who's just got legs for days that keeps all the guys coming back.
We love her. People love her. People just love her.
In
and
a
that's
perfect
why
still world, have. They're all having, like, these amazing Pally Famicon orgies, you know?
But they're...
You got Grant Gustin and Felicity and Iris West.
But, I mean, you've already argued the point that...
We never talked about Iris West and how bad she is.
Stephen Amell doesn't play the Green Arrow the way the Green Arrow actually is. No. Anyway, so that's our argument. When you're talking about the DC universes, there's so many things we could talk about.
We could talk about 1989 Batman.
Because it's...
That's the one thing about DC, is the stories are timeless. That's the one thing I will say about DC. But for the movies these days, it's just not happening.
All right.
Yeah.
You know, but... The fan base is out there.
So we're just going to talk about, you know, things. And I know, Ryan, you want to talk about Tom Petty because
yes.
That was a major influence on you as a musician, as a person.
Big
time. So, I mean, why don't you tell us tell me an experience with Tom Petty.
Shoot, man. I remember I must have been 5 or 6 driving home through the desert. And, you know, like my dad always told me music and stuff like that. You know, I was always... really influenced by my parents' music. You know, just one day I heard that song, Don't Do Me Like That, came on the radio, driving down the desert. And I was just like, I was like 5 or 6, and I loved that song. I loved that song. And I didn't know who it was at the time. I was just a little guy, you know. But for some reason, Don't Do Me Like That really struck me hard. And after that, I started listening to a lot more of them as I grew older. Really started to appreciate them. And, you know, that kind of music, it's so simple, but it's so deep, his writing. And from what I've heard, if you ask him about what his songs are about, he'll tell you, I don't know. I just came up with those things. These stories just popped into my head. Like American Girl, you know? And, you know, you got to dig if you really want to get into Tom Petty. But that's the thing about it, is it's so simple on the surface. But if you really want to get into his music, it's just really deep. And there's a bigger story to be told. And you can almost fill in the gaps when it comes to his music. And that's what I really like about it.
I remember, so, you know, a lot of my musical preferences are grounded in my parents. You know, there's not many 28-year-olds that, oh man, is that Jim Croce? Is that Electric Lights Orchestra? Is that Bob Seger? You know, all these people. And I remember my dad used to always do this thing where when music would come on, he'd always say, "Stump the Chump." And basically what you had to do is you had to be the first one in the car to say who sang it and what the song's called. And it was just a game we always played. So I was always trying to remember who does what, sings when, sings where. And I remember the one that actually stuck with me with Tom Petty was Learning to Fly. I don't know why, but I was captivated by that song. And I listened to it on repeat a bunch when I was a young kid. And I that song still gets to me. And I mean, Tom Petty's still a huge part of my life because of that. We used to play that game, Stump the Chump. I used to distress hardwood floors when I was a kid, and we just had the radio on. One of the guys that worked with me didn't know a lot of that kind of rock songs, so we'd always ask him every time a Tom Petty song came on, because there's just so many of them that play. If you listen to classic rock, you hear a Tom Petty song every 10 minutes. You just don't necessarily know it's Tom Petty sometimes. My brother would ask him, "Who sings this?" And he'd never get it. He never understood that we were only singing when Tom Petty started playing. And it's just always one of my favorite jokes.
You do that to me with Bob Seger, right?
Yeah, I do that with you. You're with Bob Seger.
I do that shit with my buddy Kevin all the time. Actually, I always am like when we're going on our jobs, I'll be like, "Hey Kevin, who's this? I'll give you $3 if you can name it off." And he can never get it.
Yeah,
he can never remember like I owe Fleetwood Mac specifically.
Yeah.
You got Stevie Nicks singing her solo stuff. Mac. No, I love doing that stuff.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite games. I don't remember if I used to do it all the time when we worked together. I think I did. You were just always on top.
We always used to play that game. We always used to do that.
I still do it.
Who is this? Who's that?
I still do that now, you know. I do it a manager / owner of a major sandwich shop, and I always tell all my employees, "I'll give you a free sandwich if you could tell me who sings this song." And I've only had to give one free sandwich away. And I've been doing it. I've been here almost a year.
Man, you should have done that. Oh, we did have a bet once. Yeah, and I lost.
What was it?
It was that song, "Well, I said, hey."
Yeah, Blondie. Or no, Four Non-Blondes.
Four Non-Blondes.
Yeah, I said it was Cher. And I felt so, I was so mad that I was defeated. And I can't believe I said Cher. Like, that was a very shitty moment. But anyways.
I could see the Cher, though.
Oh, the big influence was heavy, but still, nonetheless.
We had one today, and I asked this girl, one of the girls that works for me, she started to realize how good I was at this game. And so now she starts to ask me, and she asked me today, she's like, "Jeff, who sings this?" And I just, right away, "The Eagles." She's like, "No, it's Alabama." And I thought about it for a second, thinking to myself, "Wait, is it? Am I wrong?" And I'm just thinking, maybe she's right. And I go back and check, and sure enough, it's the fucking Eagles. I should have never doubted myself. But there was a second. I was very unsure of what my where my life had been.
Yeah, it's the worst when someone second guesses you, man. Trust me, I've been there. Yeah, I get that.
And then you start to second guess yourself, even though the moment she said it, I knew it was the Eagles. I love playing that game. Music is such a huge part of life. No matter what's going on in your life, no matter what's happening in the world, there's a song about it.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, if you're having a bad day, you can always turn on something.
That's me with Tom Petty, man. That's been the day one thing with me and Tom Petty. That's the thing. Like, I've been listening to that guy ever since I can remember.
Yeah.
Like, I was telling you, I was 5. I heard that song on the radio. And every time, you know, in high school, I could always find a song, some stupid song about something I was going through. And, I always misinterpreted it. I think was a lot older than me and way ahead of me. I think he was singing about different things, but, and, you know, it really made me emotional. The day he died, I wasn't very sad, and it was hard to be sad for Tom Petty after the victims of Las Vegas. I felt like I should be sad for everybody that day. and I was, so I didn't get too far into it. The next day, it really hit me when I could really focus on it. And I was listening to that song. It's called Wildflowers. And I remember sitting in my garage and I was just remembering all the times he would sing for those certain moments. And I really teared up. I really got sad listening to him and just realizing that he didn't exist anymore.
He knew you on such a personal level. That's the thing. That's the thing that I love about music. You don't know him, and he has no idea who you are. but you knew him and he knew you on such a personal level that, I mean, I felt the same way about Chester.
Linkin Park.
Linkin Park. Yeah, Chester, I felt the same. I loved him because...
Yeah, he was great.
We knew each other on such a personal level, even though we had no idea
like, where. Obviously, you probably lived in high school.
Yeah, I started listening to it when I was in high school.
I mean, high school's not easy.
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah. all that stuff, you find these songs that just work. Man,
yeah.
You're going through a really shitty time, and you think that there's no reason to keep going, and you start listening to Crawling, and all of a sudden, it's even, you're in a more depressive state.
Yeah.
And
those definitely feed your emotions, but at the same time, they could relieve them.
Yeah.
You just knew you weren't alone.
Yeah, I love music on a level that I can't even fathom or even talk about.
I honestly think we're all on our own level of music.
Yeah.
I think we all are on our own level. Definitely, like, you know, I probably have a stronger reaction to Tom Petty than you would. But in the same sense, you'd probably have a stronger reaction to, you know, maybe Linkin Park than I would.
Yeah.
It's just these guys were able to connect to us in different ways. They just knew who we were. You're right. They, like, knew us, but they didn't.
Yeah, they didn't know us at all, but they knew us so well.
Yeah, and, you know, that's awesome.
I think, you know, there's all sorts of artists out there that that's really going to hit home for me. And, you know, Chester's the only one that I can really think of off the top of my head. But there's so many people that have made huge impacts. Yeah. Mariah Carey's, like, one of the few people I could sleep with and not be in trouble for it. Because I don't even, it's not even a sexual thing. It's, can you sing me to sleep? Just listen to her, hear that, sing that song. Because that song is just, to me, it's just a song. It's a representation of a strength that I needed at the time. You know what I mean? I
enjoyed myself.
One of the things that we found that we enjoy more is just talking to people. I mean, I met Nick Caesar, which is just a cool experience, you know what I mean? I know you have been talking to me about your music for just years.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
I'm a big fan myself.
We've known each other almost 5 years. Did you know
that? Yeah, dude. It's still all strong.
But we'll do a Facebook poll. Everybody go listen to Ryan's music. Ryan, keep dishing that stuff out because I'm hoping it's going to bring a lot of people your way and hope that you...
Same, man. Yeah, that'd be great.
All right. Well, this is the part where we're going to play that amazing opening song Ryan made for us to close out the show. See you guys next week.